So, here it is. My first podcast, It Starts With You, by Mark Hopkins. And what better way to kick this off than a dear friend of mine called Katrina Collier, who has a book coming out called The Robot Proof Recruiter in a couple of months. My God, there's one thing, I just listened to this podcast. Obviously, you've got to listen to them before you publish them. And the amount of information and the amount we get through in the time that we did it, in about 40 minutes, I think it was, is extraordinary. There's so much to talk about in here. Not only do we talk about a book, obviously elements of the book, what people are doing on social media, where it's going wrong. And there's also a little tip there on how to write a book as well inside this podcast. But there's so much to get through. And I just want to just let you listen. So enjoy, and I'll get you on the flip side. Hello. I said I'll do that. So, my first ever podcast, and I'm so glad to be doing it with you, Katrina, with you.
Oh, what an honour.
I know. I thought, like, there's a long list of people I'd love to do it with, but for people that I truly respect in most industries, especially in our industry, is you. So I just wanted to kind of make sure that the first person I speak to is the one I respect, and then after that, it's all downhill.
I hope your future guests don't hear you say that.
They know what I'm messing about. They know. So, just for the people that don't know who you are you all right to give me the quickest of introductions of what you do? It probably minutes.
I'm not sure I know what I do. That's the really hilarious part. So I am Katrina Collier. I was a social recruiting trainer, but I have given that up. To focus more on candidate engagement. So, of course, I have written The Robot Proof Recruiter, and I do spend a lot of time speaking on stage about how to improve response rates and keeping people in the process so they don't ghost. And going forward, on top of obviously running all my Disrupt HR events, which are kind of taking over,
yeah,
I'd like to do a lot of facilitating, you know, getting the conversation better between recruiters and hiring managers. Whenever I've done that, it's just had such a positive impact that I want to do more of that. But of course, the most exciting thing on the horizon at the moment is the 3rd of August and the release of the book, which of course you're in.
I'm in the book. I know. You know, I've not ever been in a book before, but when I actually told my mum about it, and I sent her that picture you sent mm-hmm. me.
The sneak peek.
Yeah, I think she's framed it. but, you know, I'm going to have to write a book now.
Going to have to buy a book that I'll have to sign for your mum.
Yes. Oh, I'll make sure you do, seriously.
Let's do that.
You can have that as the next birthday present next year.
Well, it's really interesting because I remember, so signing the contract, and of course, writing a book takes way longer than you think it's going to take. And it's through Kogan Page, so it's properly published and edited, and they edit and edit and edit. You know, it's extraordinary, and it does make you a better writer. But I remember thinking, oh, it'd be really lovely to have it out for the first conference season, you know, so out by March or something. And I opened the contract, and I saw 3rd of August 2019, and I thought, I will leave that alone. That is my father, because he had me late, his 90th birthday. And I just thought, no, I'll just leave that. It could come out on his 90th birthday. And the really interesting thing is my father collects books that are signed by the author. So I'm like, one, he has a daughter who doesn't even have a degree, who's written a book, who can sign it and give it to him. He never expected any of that. So I think it's quite cool.
Isn't it amazing how dates correspond with our lives
in
these circumstances?
I find
it frustrating.
It's quite interesting. There were so many times as well when I would be looking for an example of something and it would just appear. So it's sort of like the date was just a magical date. And then I'd be like, I need an example of this. And there it would be. There's Mark Hopkins doing something amazing. And that would go and it was extraordinary how often that happens. So, and I think it's quite important. You know, we always talk about, you know, doing good unto others and being a better recruiter and it's just quite true. The energy that you put out will bring the energy back. And
I 100% agree with that. 100% agree with that. Yeah. I'm finding the more I do now on social media, the more I'm seeing to be gathering. It's going to sound crazy saying it like this, but more quality people around me. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it.
Yeah.
I'm learning more. Every day I'm learning more about social media, what to do, what not to do.
And I think it's quite, well, you would have seen the example I shared on Facebook. Sorry, guys, it went out privately. It's for a change. Usually I share quite publicly. But, you know, somebody wrote something really negative. So this Bobby had done a video that he was so excited about having gone to his first Disrupt HR London. And he's new into HR world. You know, we're meant to be coaching and mentoring and supporting people that are new into the industry. And he did this video and he'd said, yeah, apparently 9 times. And this very miserable older person who's obviously struggling to find work had written, oh, he said, yeah, 9 times. And I had the opportunity to correct his spelling, to just tear him down. And I just didn't. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to delete his comment, which I'm empowered to do, and block him, because it's like he's just bitter.
Mm.
And it was the best way to respond to that. And I see far too often recruiters baiting other recruiters, or yes, quite intentionally being antagonistic in the comments they're making. And I don't understand what it achieved.
You know,
your job is to help people and to coach, encourage, and, you know,
that's extraordinary. You bring that up.
We have the honor of changing somebody's life. Like, it's their career. Okay. Less so for contract workers and freelancers, I grant, because they can walk more easily, but a full-time employee, like they're trusting us to take care of them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very interested in this, because we are supposed to be the professionals in an industry to help people get jobs. That's the idea of what we do. So we're going to go into comments and start going, oh, you're a dick. Why are you saying, you know what I mean? I'm being absolutely horrible to people. Why are we doing that? Why aren't we coaching and supporting people? And a funny you should say that. There's a recruiter this morning, very much this morning, that commented on one of my LinkedIn status updates from weeks ago, by the way. Mm-hmm. This just appeared, commented on there. And the only solution to the comment I could give was delete and block. That was the only solution I could come up with, because I am not going to engage with people now moving forward. Some people will, and I get why some people will, but I'm not engaging with negativity in social media any longer. And that's kind of my standpoint.
To be honest, I'm like that in life in general. You know, it's taking all of my energy, because this is my choice. This is what I want to do. And it falls right into my values and what's important to me, you know, to get these new Disrupt HR events off the ground. Because, you know, they are for HR, they're for talent acquisition, they're for people in the world of work wanting to improve the world of work. And obviously, you know, the book, and I want to speak as much as I can and facilitate. And it's like, it's taking all my energy, and I don't have time to buy into other people's drama.
Yeah, I
don't gain anything by doing it. And, you know, I was recently called quite insensitive by somebody because I just chose not to be part of the drama, and I just sat out of it and just went, I can't help you. It doesn't matter what I say. You're going to go ahead and do this anyway. And it's not the right thing to do, but it's not mine. It's not my lesson.
I
watch these online things that are going on, and these like dummy spits, and I'm just looking at them going, I don't understand what you're gaining from this. I agree with you, I totally agree.
I was just going to say, the online equivalent to this, you're sitting in a cafe, you're listening to a conversation next to you, you're not going to suddenly start being a dick to these people, are you?
No.
You know, you're not going to jump into their conversation. Some people will interrupt a conversation and say something positive or something kind of to add to that conversation, but you won't stop them and go, I'm sorry, but you two are idiots, why are you talking about this in public? That's what social media is virtually is.
Yeah, and I think it's that. You know, it's quite funny. I quite enjoy, because I do love playing with an audience, you know, because sometimes they need to physically feel something to understand the point I'm making. So I've been known to walk into the audience and grab somebody's hand and try and drag them out of their seat. And they're like fighting. And I'm going, that is exactly the same as me sending a blank invite to connect on LinkedIn, or an unexplained invite to connect.
Oh,
once we connect, I have your contact details. I have your email. I possibly have your number. I can spam you. And it's it's a gift to have that connection with people. And people just think, oh, it's my God-given right, and I'm going to send blank invites, and why not? And it's like, well, actually, imagine if you wrote a nice little personal touch and explain what you wanted. Because all anyone does is open and go, what do you want? And then you have the other side is, the second I accept one where I'm thinking, oh, I'm so going to regret this, I do, because they spam me. They come straight back selling at me without having read my profile. So it's just...
I've stopped connecting with people of I have categories, but if I say them out loud, people think I'm either extremely horrible person. But I have categories that I put because I'm a recruiter working in the engineering manufacturing,
yeah,
and I do a bit of art on the side.
Yeah,
I 100% connect with all those people all the time, yeah, without fail. Yeah. They've got to be in Europe though, and I do connect with Americans because there are moments where I do work with some American companies, so yeah, there is, you know what I mean? So I can work with them and Australians as well. So Western world connections. Now I'm going to sound like an arsehole. Outside of that, I get spammed massively,
yeah,
by every, you name it, from people selling me databases, literal non-GDPR compliant databases,
yeah,
all the way through to pieces of technology or some random bit of kit that's supposed to improve my life.
Yeah.
Even smoothies, something like that. You know what I mean? All on LinkedIn.
But it's like, so for example, I've just opened my LinkedIn while we're talking, and I've got somebody sitting here, and it says so his headline says "Looking for brand reps for Wickman and Co. candles." I'm just like,
oh, right.
Ignore. And then above, I've got somebody. It's first name with the surname with just the initial, like, so it's B full stop rather than their full name. No photo. Who's a recruiter at Walmart? Who's obviously got their settings set in such a way that you can't see anything. And I'm just like, okay, so you are a recruiter, which is my target audience because I want people to read the book and become better recruiters. And but I'm like, I don't want to know what you want. And then I mean, very similar sort of stuff. Even with an explanation, it's so.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Like, as you often keynote, I wondered if you might kindly spare 2 minutes to help me with my startup idea. You know, and it's like, I'm sorry, but why? I don't know who you are. With those invites to connect, if you are then going to turn around and write one, it's all about the recipient. It's exactly the same with your in-mail or your in-mall, Steve Levy loves to call it. Make it all about the person receiving it.
What I do, is it? No, it's not. When I headhunting candidates, I actually that is my place where I tell them why I want to speak to them, why I want to connect to them. And I'm really brutally honest. I say, the reason I want to connect, I've got this job, think you match it, let's have a conversation. That's it. That's all I say. Yeah. And they connect. And I would say 9 times out of 10 people connect. Sometimes they don't remember the message I sent, so you just kind of rear the message again, and they suddenly start speaking to you. Mm-hmm. And I've had some really positive conversations from that. What I've gathered over time, when I used to have the credits of InMail and I used to send candidates like blanket mails, got this job, were you interested? Mm-hmm. I started finding my quality of introduction was reducing massively.
Yeah.
And also, look, if you've got 40, 50 candidates to go after, you can look at those individual profiles. But if you've got 100 candidates to go after, you're not looking at anyone's profile. No. You're blanketing those people.
But I think also the other thing that you do so well, which is, you know, so much about what the book's about, I don't think it's just about the message. You know, if I was going to write a book on how to message, it would be one chapter. You spend time with the hiring managers, you understand what you're recruiting for. So your intake strategy session, which is a whole chapter, which I haven't written. I have had complete input to write that chapter from industry experts who do it all the time. Back in the times when I was doing intake strategies, it literally was click view, billions of rows of data, can speak business and can speak tech. That was it. So, I didn't feel qualified to write that. So I called in help. But that's actually the most crucial part of recruitment. The least time is spent on. Hence, I want to do this facilitating. But also, you look like a recruiter worth talking to. You know, I'm sure when you get to the company side, you know about the companies and you know that they're worth talking to. And I think this is the biggest problem that recruiters just think, oh, Katrina will just answer me. Well, no, Katrina won't, because she's going to look you up and she's not going to like what she sees and she's not going to reply. And it's as simple as that.
And any Zavvi recruiter today.
It was extraordinary writing it out that the role of the recruiter has become from something quite small to something enormous. Whether you're an agency or in-house, it's really that, like, how you present yourself, how the company presents itself, how the hiring manager presents itself. Oh my God, let's not talk about reviews. What are they sharing? Is there ever any interest, peer-to-peer content? And then actually, how is the job description and the messaging written? And then how do you treat them through the interview process? And then out the other side. So do you reject them properly? Because my God, if you don't, you're going to struggle hiring because they're now going to bench. And then if you bring them through, do you onboard them properly? or are they dropping out in that 4 week to 3 month notice period because you're not looking after them? And it's like, whoa, when did the recruiter's job become so huge?
Well, it's, when the internet changed.
Put everybody on the internet with an opinion. That's when.
Yeah.
And then Google for Jobs just made it even more transparent.
It did. And then you got all the
time. It's exciting for people like you who make the effort and, you know, share your videos and share. It's all, everything you do comes from, I want to make it better for the people I'm recruiting.
It was
about me and recruiting. Yeah. It was about them.
Do you know where that started, though? I'm going to be honest with you, because we've only known each other for about a year now. It started a year before that. Yeah, no, it feels like a long time.
A year and you made it in the book. My goodness, I'll have upset some people.
I know that will upset a lot of people, first of all. But we do speak quite a lot. We spoke weekly for a period of time. So it was like, you know, we were getting to know each other in quite a fast way. But I did actually get to know you a little bit more before you got to know me by watching your crowdcasts, listening to yourself and Audra talk to some industry experts and the stuff I used to get from that.
Yeah.
And I think I started watching around about number 10 or something like that, or episode 11. And then I came on in the 90s. So that's a long time.
But you were lurking for a while though, weren't you?
I was stalking you.
We love it. And so news on that. It's obviously been a little quiet. but we are relaunching. And actually, I have LinkedIn streaming access. And remembering my audience is on LinkedIn, I don't think it would be necessarily benefit to some people to stream on there. So, Audra's had to leave the show, unfortunately. Her new job is just too demanding. So, Glenn Martin and I will be running the show.
Oh, wicked.
Possibly this week if we get our butts into gear. So we're going to go out on LinkedIn and on Facebook and on YouTube. So, it'll be different. In the commenting thing will be quite different, but I just feel this is greater impact, greater opportunity for these amazing, you know, people that we speak to be heard.
Some amazing people. Absolutely amazing.
And
people.
I think that there needs to, when you were saying that, it's that you as an agency recruiter were open to hear what the in-house recruiters and sources and heads of TA and employer branding people were saying.
Yeah.
Whereas us and them, it just needs to go.
can I make a comment on that? Us and them.
Of course.
I'm absolutely
your podcast.
Yes, true. I forgot for a second. I thought you were. No, I do.
I know because I like to talk.
I know. No, I love hearing you. The frustrating thing about the us and them is that we're both in the same boat. Nobody actually realizes this. Internal recruiters and external recruiters in the same boat. I really feel for internal recruiters. I think they've got the bum end of the deal, and I'll tell you for why. A lot of internal recruiters are not stakeholders in businesses. They're quite lower down in the chain. Some of them are just literally sitting in a desk in HR, taking jobs, taking orders, and then trying to do something with it.
Oh, I disagree.
No, but the ones I get, the thing is, in my industry, those are the ones I get involved with. But then when I speak to some of the guys in the more bigger manufacturing or automotive kind of companies, they do have a good stakeholder, which is really good. And that's only that's changed lately.
Yeah, I mean, it does depend on industry and it is changing massively. So of course, I do a lot in the tech space because it's, you know, I've got years of technical recruitment experience. It's my baby. It's a huge problem point. So therefore, you know, I love to go in and solve it. I disagree. I see some extraordinary in-house recruiters doing incredible things who but they've taken the time to form that bond with their hiring managers. And that goes back to the intake and that sitting down with your hiring managers and demanding their time. And it was interesting because in that chapter, I go into things about, which admittedly was my input, why can't it be a job share? Why can't it be flexible hours? Why can't it be somebody who's disabled? Why can't it be an ex-offender? Why can't it be ex-forces? Why can't it be this, that, and the other? And it's like your job, whether you're the sole agent working on it, so you might have a different relationship kind of thing, mini RPOs, that kind of thing, or you're in-house, your job is to push back on those hiring managers.
And 100%. And
you've got to challenge their bigotry and go, why? Because a lot of people go, you know, they want a man or they want a female or whatever. It's not, there's way more than just that as the diversity issue, but it's just
we all know the
flexibility issue. It could be a location. Yeah. It could be all sorts. And it's, and that's where I do see a shift, and I do see in-house really, yeah, getting the upper hand.
It's good though that it's down the hand.
Agency recruiters wouldn't sit and go, and I'm not meaning to be derogatory to what you just said. I think that's an industry, but in, yeah, depending on your industry, don't ever think that in-house recruiters are just CV shuffling. They're not. I've seen them in the DBR Slack channel, and they're not. They're involved in a lot of stuff.
I'm not saying it's, how can I put it, the entire industry that I'm that I'm open to. From my experience, I would say it's got better in the last 2-3 years. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would say 60-70% of internal recruiters now are really getting their act together, probably more so than us agency guys. Mm. But there's still that small, tiny bit where the company doesn't respect them, and they've put them in a position where here's 40 jobs, now go and fill them. You can't use agencies. You've only got LinkedIn.
And they're 40 different jobs. You know, if they're 40 jobs, they're the same, or even 20. Yeah, fine. But I mean, that's the luck when I was in house. That's literally a clip view, billions of
Yeah.
You know, it was like, yeah, this is easy. I can do this. Well, it wasn't easy, actually. It was bloody hard, but because it was a new technology. But yes, there are some unreasonable expectations that are placed on in-house recruiters.
I agree.
Too much pressure. But it's still extraordinary to watch how creative they are. And I can be quite shocked, you know, at the Recruitment Agency Expo, or recently when I spoke at the Recruitment Network, I was a little stunned at some of the skills that they didn't possess over what I've seen on the in-house. And then I can go vice versa.
Speaking
side are far more inclined to do what it takes to get in touch with the person, like you, the phone. I never understand the problem with the phone. Mind you, somebody rang me this morning and I didn't pick the phone up. I just looked at them, ignored it. They didn't leave a voicemail. They left a voicemail. I would have called them back, but they didn't. So I was like, Mr. Sales call, yay.
You know, that's one thing agencies are really good at, though, is picking up the phone and doing the phone side of it.
Yeah, although so it swings and roundabouts.
But I think that's still, I mean, I was chatting actually with some couple of guys that I run a small little recruitment forum called the Recruiters Arms. And the guys in there, I asked them a question the other day, what's the kind of preferred methodology of trying to get in contact with candidates? What is the number one thing? Now, some of them are saying calls. Now, what is starting to change is that the methodology of getting that call. So now they're introducing themselves via message service, WhatsApp or email or whatever it is to arrange that call. Years ago, you just used to find their CV and phone them. Now they're being a bit more courteous in how they do that. The call is still happening, but the methodology of arranging that call.
If you call me, so this morning, the reason I didn't answer was I just walked in with two completely soggy dogs and I was not going to answer my phone. I cursed at it because I was like, oh, this is the worst timing ever. Mind you, unless I'd recognised the number, I probably would have. But it was, when I answer the telephone, I'm giving you permission to speak.
That's it.
If you actually call me, and I'm probably more inclined to answer a cell, to be honest, certainly won't answer anonymous. But if I, you know, I will be more inclined to answer, and that gives you permission to speak.
That's it.
But and I'm quite happy to end the call if it doesn't go the way I want. You know, if you open courteously with, you know, hi, Mark, it's Katrina. I appreciate you're in an open plan office. It may be difficult to speak. I'd love to talk to you about your future career steps because I have something I think
that's it.
To you.
That's it. But that's your respect. That's showing respect to the process.
10 seconds, grab their attention, show some empathy, say who you are, you know, and explain it, and they'll be off, you know. And we all get the sales calls where it's, you know, I'd like to speak to Katrina Collier. Okay,
that's it.
And like, okay, what do you want? Oh god, it's an insurance call, go away. You know.
But that's, I don't, even with my business line, I see the numbers come up. CV Library phones me every week, Indeed phones me every other week, and because I know the numbers now, I don't answer them because I don't need them. Do you know what I mean? I will answer that. They do email straight after the phone call, which I find very fascinating, how they do that. If they just email me, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm more contactable through written communication than I am through verbal communication.
I think what I've discovered, like running a business, and I think this is still really valuable for recruiters, is that people will communicate with you how they want to.
Yes.
So rather frustratingly, because I just have to go in to see them by choice because otherwise my day would just be chaos. But I have some people who will only communicate by Twitter direct message.
That's brilliant.
And I've run an entire event organized by Twitter directly. Yeah. I've certainly been booked for speaking via Messenger. Other clients want to Instagram message with me. People will choose what they like and what they want to do. So your job is to be open on all of those platforms. I have so many printouts of stuff because, you know, LinkedIn's inbox is the worst. So I'm forever printing out conversations so I remember what's going on. because they come in all over.
I can't possibly
remember them all. So
it's amazing.
Just going back to that WhatsApp thing, because I think this is a really top tip. This is from Catherine Robinson. I heard it the other day. Actually put your name and your like full name and your bio and everything. If you see mine, of course, it mentions the dogs as well. But so people see it. Because, you know, when you send that message, they're like, oh, sorry, who's that? Like cat. No, oh, hang on. It's Katrina Collier. She is an author. She's a speaker. She does. Oh, okay, I'll talk to her.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing.
That's what I love about WhatsApp. When you introduce yourself on WhatsApp, it's similar with my videos as well. When I introduce myself to people, there's links, there's clicks, you can see who I am. I'm not just some random guy who's trying to get a hold of you and rip you off or something like that.
Author, speaker, Aussie, Britain, London, two dogs. So, you know, I've got my personality in there as well.
Yes.
Exactly the same as the other sites. And going back to the social media thing, you know, with technical people, they're all over Twitter. Well, why don't you just fill out your bio so they want to follow you? So if you follow them, they look and they go, oh, okay, she looks the right, I'll follow her back. Rather than, huh?
What the hell is this?
Why are we making it so complicated? And it's the same, I think Instagram is an incredibly power recruitment tool, particularly for recruiter branding. Fill out your bio.
I think so. Yeah. But I think that's something about social media that external recruiters, maybe, I don't know so much about the internal, but definitely from an external perspective, I'm starting to notice that they don't take social media serious as what they should. They're not embracing half the stuff that's going on, not even quarter of the stuff that's going on. And some of them haven't written a blog yet.
Yeah.
You know, that's so 2013.
I find the lack of completed LinkedIn profiles hilarious.
I find that as well. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, first and foremost, like, go check your settings because you may well find that your profile picture is actually hidden. It's only visible to your first level connections. I don't know if LinkedIn made a change or there's a bug, but I'm noticing that a lot. And just go and fill it out. They've just reformatted them on the desktop. It's awful. But also don't look on the desktop. Look on your phone because that's where candidates will see you and they will see your photo and your banner and your summary or your headline, your summary. More than I'll see your current experience. So your summary is really important. Add some rich media, add some genuine photos of what you're up to, like, you know, nice where you're paying it forward to the industry.
And add some, I think a lot of agencies, especially the managers of these agencies, are really scared of their own staff having carte blanche on social media to get on with what they want to do. And there has been some real bad ones, but there's been some real positive ones, and I'm finding the positive ones and the bad ones are coming from mostly SME agencies, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah,
real bad content, and I mean the absolute embarrassment content are coming from the bigger ones.
It's funny because I started following the talent acquisition and the recruiter hashtag on Instagram, but I'm seeing a lot of the same content. This lack of creativity.
Yeah.
Quite extraordinary as well. Like the copy and paste thing, there's a lot of that going on LinkedIn as well, where 10 people have put the same post out and you're like, oh, this is really lame. This is just clickbait. Yeah. So I think what you need to do is really, who am I trying to attract? Me, recruiter, not me, agency, me, recruiter. What is my role? Okay, I just recruit. I'm going to go with something I know. So PHP developers. So shouldn't I be sharing content that is valuable to them?
Maybe
I should be, oh, this might be too scary, but, you know, getting one of my developers to start a podcast with me that talks about the challenges of recruiting in PHP, you know, and find out stuff. What would be valuable to them? Go and ask them. You're talking to people all day.
Yes.
If you could have your choice on content, what would you like to see? What could I find for you? What could I create for you that would be of value? Which is what you've done. Your videos go out and they are, oh gosh, I was chatting to this guy the other week. He has this problem. Well, here's an idea of how you can fix that.
Yeah, that's exactly how I did it.
With one person, you're sharing a video. Yeah.
So I remember thinking, you know, the most of the people that I was speaking to had problems, and I was giving them advice, and I was thinking, can I write a blog about this? And that's where video naturally progressed for me, where I was just talking and talking at a camera about advice, then just edit it and then send it out there. And I didn't realize the impact it would have to certain people. They had that question, and there was the click for me, and kind of just get that advice out there. There are some people which are doing these advice videos, and they're not actually thinking about the candidate base that they've got, or they're not thinking about why they're doing the advice videos. Yeah. What is the reason behind it?
Yeah.
So they're just putting them out there, and they're, you know, they're saying, "Oh, video doesn't work. I'm only getting 2 likes." Yeah. Well, that's not the point of the video, mate.
Yeah, you have to directly upload them as well. That certainly helps. But I think the other thing is, so I've mentioned the running recruiter quite several times. Is, yes. I don't get that. I get motion sickness, so I can't actually watch that.
Yeah, you've got to be careful with gimmicks.
Like, why are you doing that? I don't.
Do you agree.
Think that makes you special? All it does is alienate everyone who gets motion sickness who can't watch it.
I think you've got to be careful with gimmicks. You've got to have something sustainable and it works, and a formula that actually works for you. And you don't have to copy other people. You've got to make a stamp of it. What is you? But it's yeah. There's a. I think there's a way of sending out a message that everyone will agree to, that they like
but
it.
I think there's a few things that if people were to take away from our conversation, which I have no idea how long we've been chatting.
Half an hour.
Okay, right, cool. it would be, please do not underestimate the impact of the internet on the transparency of yourself,
yes.
your company, your client, and all of that. So are you presenting yourself in such a way that means you are worthy of somebody's time? And I always use that expression. And also worthy of their trust, because it's your career. You're taking their career. Yeah. And then just take a moment, once a day maybe, to stop and go,
and then,
what would it take for me to change jobs? What would I be worried about? What would I be thinking? And remember that in every single conversation. Wow. Yeah. My God. So if they change jobs and they fail, they can't pay their mortgage, they can't pay their school fees, they're out on the street, they're begging. You know, like, it sounds melodramatic, but it could be that melodramatic if somebody doesn't make it.
It's been that melodramatic for some people are homeless and they've come to me asking for advice and support over where you get into things. And I don't know if I've helped them, but I've seen them later on and they're back on their feet and they're doing things. And I think all they needed was just that little tiny bit of confidence for them, because the whole life is falling apart.
Absolutely. And take the time, because honestly, for the grace of God, go I. And then also maybe look at a charity like Beam, where you might throw in 20 quid towards somebody gaining a qualification that was homeless. Yeah. And particularly it's brilliant because a lot of them are getting trades, which we're desperately short of.
Oh, God,
And Brexit definitely has not helped that either. So, you know, have a look at something like that. I think Beam is amazing. And then, you know, maybe going and working for someone like Working Chance, where you could donate a day of your time. It is Working Chance, where it's in the prison system. And actually, if you are talking to any of your clients, ask them to ban the box. 75% of companies will discriminate against an applicant for ticking that they have a criminal record, yet 50% of the criminal records for men in the UK are for driving offences, and only 8% all up who have a criminal conviction actually go to jail. So again, that's where I think when you're on the agency side or you're in-house, you have a role, you have the ability to influence that.
Yeah, the one thing, though, I will say, the people that do have criminal convictions, they are very upfront and honest about it from the beginning. The ones I've come across, I think it's because they feel that they want to move on with their lives. The engineers that I deal with, they'll admit to it. But
see, maybe on the agency side they will, but I can assure you, if they're applying directly, they won't. So you're
really?
Yeah. And honestly, most of the time, there's no reason. I mean, so it's like a violent crime.
I could talk about a social worker.
The Baldock spoke last week at Disrupt HR London. One of the reasons I love running it so much, it was she's deaf, and she ended up just lying on her application to get in front of them and then got the job. But she'd been rejected over and over and over and over and over. And eventually she just lied, and that got her in front of the hiring manager, and that was it. And you just go, you shouldn't have to do that.
No, you shouldn't.
Asking you know, are there any access issues that we need to be aware of? And not to rule them out, to rule them in. Oh, okay, yeah. We just need to let you know how to get to the building. Do we need our job descriptions to be written in a different color font for dyslexic people? Do we need an audio option for deaf people? Not deaf people, blind people. It's Monday morning.
So, it's Monday morning. That's the problem. Monday morning.
We've been talking long enough anyway.
I know.
Anyway,
so I know you've got... Yeah, so the Robot Proof Recruiter coming out on the 3rd of August, wasn't it?
August!
And it's going to change your life, I bet.
Yeah, and you can pre-order it now on Amazon. Amazingly, it's like number one hot best-selling seller in the category of interviewing and recruiting, which makes me so proud. And importantly, it isn't just my voice. Obviously, you've heard me say Mark's in it, but it's 74 people's voices and my own in there.
Yes.
And
yes.
I couldn't have done it without the community.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be gritty, and it's lovely because writing a book is, it's an emotional roller coaster. And you know, you write it all out, and you're like, okay, now I've got to send it to the publisher.
Yeah.
And then it comes back in PDF, and then you've got to send it to people to give their opinion. So I thought, okay, who scares me? Troy Hammond in New Zealand. He has a no fucks attitude. I'm sorry to swear on your podcast, but sorry for anyone that just offended, but zero fucks is his hashtag. And he read it and came back to me and said, I usually find these boring, but it's gritty. And I laughed and I smiled all the way through it and I nodded, and it was exactly what we need. And that's brilliant. What I hoped it would be gritty. So if you get that and say Jan Tegzer's book on sourcing, the two together, beautiful for new or experienced recruiters. I'm finding as well that what the experienced recruiters are saying is there were surprises for me in here. It really made me sit up and listen. And again, that's what I hoped it would do. So I can't thank enough the people who helped me put this together. So
brilliant.
And that was quite a huge plug for the book. I'm so excited about it.
No, I'm really excited for you. The one thing I want to know though is how the F did you bloody write a book? Because I have tried to write a book and it's so hard.
Yeah, well, I was very, very honoured to be able to take the time off to do it. I must admit, because it was all consuming, and I was only running my events. I did very little training or anything in that time. I mind mapped it on, I need to hover over it to remember what it's called, Simple Mind. So you work out your chapters and you mind map out your chapters, and I was forever adding. Because, you know, you're out on the dog walk or you're out, having a shower is a really good time to get amazing ideas as well, because actually the hot water on your head opens up your creativity. So I would have notes everywhere. And then I just wrote it in Google Docs. So each chapter was its own document. So I could also dump stuff in different chapters as it came to me. As I saw examples, I'd screenshot it and drag it in.
That is a brilliant idea. Because normally you open a Word document and you just type.
Yeah, Word documents are the absolute worst as well. I mean, they just... Yeah. With Google Docs, you know, you can right-click and check the spelling of something. You can check the definition of something. You can look for another word if you're constantly using nice. You know, we all know we shouldn't use the word nice. but yeah, that's how I did it. But I think the thing is... I don't know what the thing is. It's gone out of my head. You have to edit that bit out. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Dory, they're staying in, by the way. I think the thing is discipline, though, isn't it? It's the discipline of writing a book. That's the bit it's not
that I was going to say. Don't start at the beginning.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. No, I started at chapter two. I started the chapter I knew would be the easiest, which was how recruiters present themselves online. So that was the easiest for me. God. So I started
the last 30 minutes. Two,
and because I had the benefit of a publisher who would push back and say, oh, Katrina, you're not explaining this very well. By the time I got to the end, I was a better writer. So when I came back to do the editing of two and three, it was like, whoa, gosh, you have improved. So changed that around. And then I wrote chapter one, which was like the state of play, how we got here, and the introduction and the conclusion. So start with a chapter you're really comfortable with.
It's like writing a movie,
the introduction or the conclusion, because you actually don't know what you're going to write. That's
a really good point.
There you go.
Wow. I just learned something there.
You did? Absolutely... Well, of course you learned something.
If I had known it, I would have written a book by now.
Well, I'm sure I can help you. But I'll have to be another book. I've just run out of time.
I know you have, and I've been really super conscious of the time, and you've spared an hour of your life to me for this, so thank you.
And we had a bit of a technical fight, didn't we? So it's the first one where these things happen.
These are, but you've convinced me now not to use Anchor for podcasts, to use to record them.
Use it to distribute, because it's extraordinary. But I think to create the recording, to use Zoom or something like that.
That's what I'm going to use from now on, because this has been undisrupted since we've used this, and it's been absolutely brilliant. Like, we're sitting in front of each other.
Right. Well, on that note.
So on that note, thank you very much for your time. And
thank you.
Hopefully when the book is released, you can tell us how good it was.
Number I know, one, I seven. Can tell you some more how good it was. I know, I'm ranting. I'm very proud of it.
This is what this podcast is about, ranting, a little bit about you, where you're going to get to.
Who knows what's next? It's quite an exciting journey I'm on.
Definitely. I want to keep, should we keep in touch? Just do a regular podcast about your journey.
Oh, we could do. If the audience doesn't find that boring, sure.
Well, we'll see about the listening figures.
Yeah, let's find out if they want to hear me again.
Definitely.
All right, you. Thank
Take
you.
It easy.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.